Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Wilmington, North Carolina, the new home of ScaryCast and all of its podcasts. This is Dr. John Stamey welcoming you to Growing Up Haunted, a show where people tell us about ghostly experiences, about UFO experiences, and about Bigfoot experiences and everything else when they were growing up. We've got an exciting show tonight and so glad to have everyone here. First of all, I would like to introduce our co-host from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing awesome, and I can't wait to hear the stories you guys got because I want to be – somebody scare me. I need to hear something good.
All right, we're going to scare you tonight, I promise. It's good to have you here. And tonight our guest is a ScaryCaster, one of our four new ScaryCast hosts. This is – Chris Chastain. Chris, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, John. I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And you have some stories. In fact, what's really cool is you went and talked to your mom about some of these stories to get them straight, didn't you?
I did, actually. I called mom and dad both on speakerphone just a little earlier today because they've always talked about, our experiences as a family growing up. And I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anything out. I had a lot of this in my head, but I find every time you talk and you discuss stories like this, you tend to learn something new. So that was really fun to do that. I took probably two pages of notes, and mom and dad are listening in tonight, so hopefully I get it right.
So hello, Chris's mom and dad. We're glad you're here tonight, and we got Chris on the hot seat with Growing Up Haunted. All right, Chris, why don't you start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, to borrow Rodgers and Hammerstein's statement from The Sound of Music. Start at the very beginning, and how did these stories, these haunted experiences, come about?
Well, these started I'll go back to where I was involved. So I was born in 84, and mom and dad, they were living in a town called Thompson, Georgia. And for anyone that doesn't know where that's at, you're probably about 20 minutes or so from Augusta, home of the Augusta National with the Masters every year. So it's a nice little community. It has a beautiful downtown area. Interstate 20, goes right through the top of it. There's easy access to get to Atlanta and then to get to Augusta. And so my parents, they were quite young at the time. Where the creepy stuff started was around 1988, and this would have been winter, probably winter of 1988, because I know we spent a Christmas in the home that we moved into. And like I said, mom and dad, they were in their 20s, and I was around 4 years old. And what's interesting is between, you know, being a toddler and up until about age six, I remember the different homes that we lived in. So 1990, we ended up moving to a very small rural community, Lincolnton, Georgia. And that's where my parents reside today. They're still there. But the home that I'm getting ready to talk about, this is the one I don't have a lot of memories of. It's a flash here and there, you know, just a quick, you know, image of like the living room. And I don't know, we may have had pizza watching TV once. But I was 4 years old, but it's odd that I don't have, you know, a lot of memory of it. And I think there's probably a reason for that. I don't know, maybe God had mercy on me and, you know, just, you know, repressed a lot of it. So Mom and Dad rented this house, and this would have been in the city limits of Thompson, Georgia, McDuffie County. And like I said, it's a very nice little downtown area. It has, I don't know if it's still open today. They had a very old theater there, right on the main street area. The train comes through the middle of town. It's just a quaint town, but then you've got like the bigger restaurants and hotels just outside of it. So this was a not busy, but this was a neighborhood that, you know, it's not out in the middle of nowhere. You know, there's homes on every corner, and just not anywhere that you would think of as, you know, scary or, you know, much less haunted. And the first thing that was off that Mom and Dad noticed, it was the price. And the rental for this home, which it was a two-bedroom, I believe it had a bathroom, a living room, and a dining room. It was not huge, you know, but it wasn't an apartment either. And it was $125 a month. And I went and just did a very quick Google search. And I'm sure there's a lot of different factors that go into, you know, what was average rent back in 1988. But everything I could tell, you know, things were around, you know, the $400 mark. So they noticed that the price was extremely low, to begin with. And, they were getting ready to move in. The landlords were, you know, helping, you know, get it cleaned up, get it ready. And they, you know, allowed Mom and Dad to, you know, paint whatever color they wanted. So they went and bought the paint. And they ended up painting every room in the house a different color. So we got moved in, and the next thing that Mom noticed was the closet inside of my bedroom. So, you know, I was four, so I had my own room, and the closet was always cold. Every time she would open it, there was an eerie feeling inside of there. And there wasn't, and I asked her, I said, Mom, was there a draft? You know, could there have been, you know, could it be coming off a vent or something? And there was no explanation of why it was so cold inside of the closet. So from there come in the coat hangers. So, you know, the metal coat hangers, you know, lots of people have those even today. Those were inside of the closet, but they were never used. And Mom and Dad both would at times hear clanking inside of the closet, and it would be the sound of the coat hangers. They would be clanking together, and you could hear it throughout the entire home. And one thing, you know, just reminder, we didn't use that closet. You know, Mom said it was probably because of the eeriness. I wouldn't even sleep in the bedroom. So, I mean, I was four at the time. I should have been, you know, sleeping in, you know, the little, you know, kid bed, but I wouldn't. I always had to sleep with them. And she said, you were always scared and you weren't having it. You weren't sleeping in there. So I slept in their bed. But so we ended up not using the closet, the coat hangers, you know, on more than one occasion, they would be clanking. They could hear it throughout the house. You open the closet door, they haven't moved. They are perfectly 100% still. So, yep, that's weird. But usually, I know at least for me, we try to find a logical explanation for things. And, a lot of times we just end up blowing things off, pun intended. moving on to the next room of the house is the kitchen. And the kitchen, Dad remembers it always having a heaviness when you walked into it. And there would be times at night where, he would hear things inside of the kitchen, and then he's like, I was not about to get up to go see, what it was. And it turns out there was, there was something that found its way into the house. We think it was a rat that ended up coming in under the sink, and it chewed a hole through the trash can. So for the short time that we were there, we had named it the rat hole because we just assumed that a rat had chewed its way into the kitchen. But so Mom, she was working night shift, and this would have been a day that, she had come home, she had gotten some sleep, and then she got up and started doing dishes in the kitchen. And my grandmother, she would have lived probably, 10 or 15 minutes away in the same town. And Mom is standing there washing the dishes, and the front door, it was an older wooden door, and it had the deadbolt on it that you had to use a key to open it with. So it was always locked when, she was there during the day, especially after working all night. Dad would have, I think he was working for the sheriff's department at the time. Don't quote me on that. But on the porch, she heard my grandmother's voice call out to her, announcing that she had arrived. And this was not out of the ordinary at all. It was, she probably came by every day. And, Mom stopped washing the dishes, went, unlocked the door, and opened it. There is no one there. My grandmother is not on the property, not at all. And so whatever was inside of the house, we sometimes have referred to it as a spirit, sometimes as a demon. We don't know for sure. But whatever it was able to imitate my grandmother enough that, my mom was like, oh, she's here, let me go let her in. The one thing that we do know about the home's history is a young man passed away in that house not long before they moved in. He had to be young, probably in his 20s. He ended up passing away from an overdose. So don't know if that was, what was causing these occurrences, but nevertheless, they continued. So the back door, just to give you an idea, had another, one of those really big, heavy wooden doors. And it had the deadbolt lock, but this one, it had a knob on the inside that you could turn it and unlock it. From the outside, you'd have to use the key, of course. And then it had a screen door behind it, and it stayed latched. So we didn't really use the back door. But there was a night that we came home, and the front door, it's locked. Everything seems okay. Mom and Dad come in. And they find the back door is standing wide open. The screen door is still latched. So whatever or whoever opened the door, they would have unlocked it from the inside. and just left it standing wide open. You know, there was no robbery. There was nothing missing. No one was, of course, in the home. So now we're starting to get, you know, these things are happening more and more often. So, you know, they're starting to think at this point something is just really not right here. So I talked about the kitchen, talked about the heaviness in the air. The next thing that started to occur, and I remember this decoration that my mama had. She may still have it somewhere, actually. But there was a brand called Home Interiors, and I guess they just made like these little knickknacks for the house. But I remember this thing very clearly. It was a wall ornament in the shape of a heart, and it was made out of wood. And then the edges, it had like a lacy fabric material that encompassed the heart. But in the center, it had the writing that said, "May God's love warm our home." I remember it just as plain as day. And it had the little groove in the back where, you know, you would sit it, you would put it on the wall on a nail, and it would fit down in that groove. Well, it started to, they would get up in the morning and it had fallen off the wall. And I mean, that's ordinary. I mean, we have things fall off the wall. That's nothing to write home about. But mind you, the nail did not come out of the wall. It's still there. And then the plaque is laying on the floor. It's laying on the floor face down. Still, you know, that's nothing really out of the ordinary, until it starts to happen pretty regularly. And mom said she remembered at least 6 times this happening. And so the way that this progressed is every time it would fall and hit the floor, it would always be face down, and it would be a little bit further away from the wall every time. And then, mind you, again, what's on the front of it that's now face down is, you know, "May God's love warm our home." So the last time that they remember this occurring, the plaque had come off the wall and it had been slid all the way across the room this time, and it had been pushed under the sofa to where only the corner of it, or the edge of it rather, was sticking out. So it was face down, slid across the room. And again, nobody's been in the home. It was just the 3 of us. I believe this usually happened during the night when they would find that. And so that was like, I don't know if it was at that point that they were starting to look for another place to live. We didn't stay there, but maybe about 2 months, I believe. One thing to add on to that, and this was kind of creepy. Every time mom or dad talks about this, it kind of sends a chill up my back. The last time that it had come off the wall, and this time it was slid across the room, they found little prints in the carpet. So it was as if something had gone back and forth, making kind of a path through the carpet. And they were in the shape of like a hoof, like a little hoof, which is extremely creepy. Dad said he remembered it having some color to it, like it had, you know, turned, you know, the carpet kind of a light brown color maybe. But it was just as if it had worn a path through the carpet between where the heart was hanging on the wall all the way over to the sofa. And, you know, mom said, you know, "I have no idea if whatever it was it bipedal? Was it on 4? You know, it just seemed like it came from an animal. It was the oddest thing ever." And so the straw that broke the camel's back, so they are, of course, you know, pretty freaked out, you know, that all of these things are going on. And the straw that broke the camel's back, mom, like I said before, she was working night shift, and so she would, you know, get home and she would have to sleep during the day. And she remembers she was asleep, yet she was aware of what was happening around her. And I think the name for that is, you know, the sleep paralysis. But she said that she heard the front door open. And again, this is the heavy wooden door, had to be opened with a key. She was able to hear it open, and she felt the sunlight coming in onto her face because it's daytime. She was waiting for someone to say, hey, you know, whether that had been, I guess it would have been my dad or my grandmother, but no one ever said anything. And she tried to wake up, but she felt as though she was being held down, pinned to the bed. She couldn't sit up. She couldn't move. She couldn't holler. She was just, as the word says, she was paralyzed. And eventually she was able to, you know, get herself awake and move. And she said she was just shaking. She was finally awake and she was shaking all over. And that's when, you know, we said, okay, we're out of here. So they started to pack, and it was they had moved a lot of things out of the house, but had to end up going back for the rest of the stuff. And so it had been a couple of days since we had been inside of the house. But when they returned, they ended up finding more of those tracks around the house that I mentioned before that almost looked like hoof prints, but a worn path in the carpet. And if you remember before, I told you that, you know, all of the walls in the house were freshly painted. They ended up painting every room a different color. And what they found now was some kind of, the best way to describe it is this oozy brown jelly-like substance, and it's almost like it was growing up the wall in multiple places. I didn't ask if it had any smell or anything, and they wouldn't have dared touched it. But they ended up leaving my bed and at least one dresser, probably several other things. Mom said, we have got to get out of here. They walked out, never looked back, and those things just stayed there. We do know that the house was, it was re-rented pretty quickly after that. So they have a suspicion that the owners knew that something was going on in there. But like I said, I mean, as cheap as it was, having someone that did pass away in it, I don't know if it was, just something spiritual. Maybe it was angry. I don't know. I would love to talk to Robin about it, actually. I've only mentioned it to her like maybe once before, but she could probably pick up on something and tell us, just because I'm curious. So we had a few more experiences after we moved away to the other town, which was Lincolnton. We didn't immediately move there. We did stay in Thompson for a while, but we did leave that house. So I'll pause right there, John, just to see if you guys wanted to ask any questions before I go on to what happened at the next home we lived in.
Holy crap. It sounds like John might have disappeared for a little bit, but okay. Yeah, I have some questions. Geez.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, when was the time that this happened?
It was 1988. So this would have been around, it would have been around Christmas of 1988.
So there definitely wasn't cameras that would be able to pick any of this up, I'm guessing.
No, no, not at that time.
Shoot, yeah, that was going to be like, wow, if I would have known that all this was happening around me, I would have put some cameras up, I would have put some audio, something, microphones.
I know, heat detectors.
And by the way, this is John. I have returned from my service freezing. Yes, I mean, you know, today we would do things differently than we did back then. And that's kind of like a summary of what Kyler's question is. Don't you agree, Kyler?
Mm-hmm. Wait. Sorry, say that again?
I said, don't you agree that we would do things differently today in 2023 than we would have in 1985?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so much more at our disposal these days.
Yeah, the first thing, you know, hearing the coat hangers throughout the house, I mean, I'm thinking, I even have some metal coat hangers in my closet right now, and they're not very thick. If I had a whole lot of them, you still wouldn't really be able to hear that clearly. So just the fact that it was like spread out through the house, that's creepy too.
Yeah. 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 It's almost like a ruckus type. I mean, if you're even in a smaller home, you got to be in there like banging them things to be able to hear all throughout the house. And even then, I don't know that if it's inside of a closed closet. So it doesn't make sense.
Wow. That's amazing. So have you ever had anything like that happen since?
Nothing that I guess chilling. The home that we ended up moving to this would have been 1990. So this was an older home in Lincolnton, still standing today. It was probably built, I would say, in the late 1800s. It was my mother's grandmother's house. So this would have been my great grandmother. And, there were things that happened there. and I can get into those as soon as, unless you guys have any more questions about the home that we call the rat hole in Thompson. The rat hole that we stayed in for 2 months and got the heck out. What's that?
I said, yes, tell us any more stories you've got like that. That would be great.
Okay. All right. So we, like I said, we ended up moving. This was my great-grandmother's home. And mom and dad still live right beside that property. They live in the house that's right next door. And it was a very old home. It had, and still does to this day, it had the very, you know, big wooden doors inside that, you know, you would use the skeleton key to unlock. And in fact, I thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. I was probably six when we moved in, but having a skeleton key for my bedroom, I just thought that was great. But the home, the layout of it, you had your bedrooms on the left and the right side of the house. And then in the very center, you had this humongous hallway that would go from the front door all the way to the back door with a little bathroom over to the side. And we're talking a hallway that's probably, 8 or 9 foot wide. And it was a lot of space out there. I remember we had a deep freezer sitting in the hallway, and there was a big set of curtains that could be used. You could pull them and like split the hallway in half. I have no idea why those were put there, but they looked to be as old as the house was. So by that time, my sister was born, and she had a bedroom on, if you're facing the house, she would have been on the right side, and I would have been on the left, and then mom and dad would have been on same side as me, but behind my bedroom. And this was just very progressive over time, I guess. And I, you know, my sister, she was probably maybe 4 or 5 now, because we lived there for quite some time. But I got to where I didn't want to sleep in my bedroom. And I can't really tell you a definite or a specific reason why. But even as, you know, I'm probably, I don't know, 10, 11 maybe, and I'm like, I don't want to be in my bedroom. I don't want to play in there. I definitely don't want to sleep in there. And there were so many nights that I would go and sleep in my sister's room with her. You know, we had a big bed in her room, and for a long time she had like a little kitty bed that was kind of over on the wall, but I did not want to be by myself. And I remember there was a long time that I would keep my bedroom door closed. Now nothing happened to me in my bedroom. I know that my grandmother, she lost her little brother when he was pretty young. I can't remember how old he was, but she saw a couple of spirits in that room. It was her brother and the gentleman that that died the same time he did. They were in an accident and drove into the lake. It was really, really foggy, and you know, they weren't able to make it back to the shore, and they passed away. But she did end up, I remember her telling us, you know, she saw their spirits in that bedroom. But other things would happen. So like I said, I was afraid to be by myself. So my sister and I would be, you know, not sleeping, but we would be in her bedroom, and, you know, it would be night. We have the lights off. Mom and Dad are in their bed. And there were nights that we would hear singing. My sister and I would hear singing. It almost sounded like opera. And I couldn't tell you exactly where it was coming from, if it was inside the house, or at times I could have swore that it was outside the window. And in addition to that, we would hear mumbling, and you couldn't make out what was being said. It just sounded like, you know, just, you know, disembodied voices. And the funny part, well, it's kind of creepy too, is Mom and Dad would hear the same thing. And we assumed, you know, that Mom and Dad are in there chattering, they're talking, and they would think that it was, you know, my sister and I in there doing the same thing. But it wasn't. It was neither of us. And, you know, we talk so much now about Bigfoot, and my mom and dad, and like I said, they live on the property next door now. But, you know, we've started to notice, you know, signs of Bigfoot in, you know, the past year, especially after meeting Robin and Pat. And we almost wonder if some of that gibberish or some of the noises that we heard, was it actually the foots outside? I think it's a possibility that it could have been. You know, Robin seems to think that they're pretty active where Mom and Dad live. And like I said, we've had, you know, we're seeing the signs now, now that we're really paying attention. Some of the other things that would happen, Mom and Dad would hear a lot of times, it sounded like someone was banging, like, you know, a hammer hitting a piece of wood, or almost like, you know, somebody's working on something. But this would be the dead of night. And again, this section is very rural. It's out in the country. Nobody is up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, doing any kind of construction, you know, out in the country. So that was always odd. And it was just one of those things that just, it went on. My uncle, who is more like my older brother. He's only 8 years older than me. I think he's listening tonight too. I remember him spending the night with us once, and He ended up seeing some type of bright light outside. And again, this is out in the country. It's dark at night. There's no street lights or anything like that. If a car goes by, you'll see the headlights. But he saw something in the sky, some type of light, and it frightened him so bad he ended up calling his parents to come get him. And so we kind of joke about that. Dad was like, yep, I heard the footsteps going across the hall straight to the phone when he was there. Before mom and dad moved out of that house and moved to the one next door, my mom's father, his wife, they lived next door, and he had cows, and he had, his garden, and he would always come over, and he would have his boots on, and he would always knock his boots off at the steps on the back porch. That's where we would always go in at, was at the back door. And he passed away in 1993. But there were multiple occasions, mom would be getting ready for work, and the bathroom was right there at the back porch area, and she would hear, plain as day, the boots being knocked, on the steps of the porch, and just like her father did. But of course, you look out there, and there's no one there. So it's not necessarily something frightening, but it's something that you couldn't explain really. A couple more things, and I'll get to what I think is the creepiest. But we ended up having a Christmas get together, and there was quite a few people in the house. My mother always has a beautiful, beautiful Christmas tree. I mean, it goes floor to ceiling. Not really any space for an extra ornament on it. It looks like it should be in a catalog. It's beautiful. But there were, several people, probably six or seven people in the living room. And, they all witnessed this where, the tree, it just started to shake. It just started vibrating. And it startled, one of my aunts enough to make her kind of scream or yelp, rather. And it knocked, an ornament or two off the tree. So it's not totally frightening, but again, it's really hard to explain. So I almost wonder if it was like one of the little people that Robin and Pat talk about that got into their Christmas tree. Could have been. But the last thing that I'll touch on, and Dad will tell you this to this day, his story never changes. And, he remembers it, and he would get up a lot of times at night to go to the restroom. And like I told you before, it had that really, really big hallway. So when he would come out of the bedroom, and, the bathroom would be, about in his 11 o'clock position. And then to the right, you've got that really, really long, wide hallway and then the front door. And I'm guessing we must have had a nightlight or, a little lamp or something in the hallway. This would have been middle of the night, probably 3-4 in the morning. And he happened to look to his right toward the door, and there is a little girl standing there. And he describes her, and like I said, he never changes his story. She was blonde. She had blonde hair, probably around 6 or 7 years old. And she had on the blue dress, and it was the type of clothes that would have been from another era. Definitely not for early mid 90s. And she just kind of stared at him, and he stared at her. He said that he was able to see the front door behind her. So it's almost like she was translucent. You could see through her. She was there. She didn't say anything. She didn't make any kind of movement. She didn't say anything. And then she was gone. So I have no explanation for, you know, who that could have been. I don't believe there was ever any young girls to pass away in that home because, I mean, it was kept in the, I mean, that was a family home, you know, for, you know, at least three generations. And I don't know, maybe it was, maybe she was attached to the property or something from years and years ago. I don't know. But that only happened the once, but you know, he swears up and down he wasn't asleep because he was walking to the bathroom. And like I said, every time he tells it, it's the little blonde girl with the blue dress. So that's our paranormal experiences. You know, now since then, you know, being grown, my wife and I live about 45 minutes away from where mom and dad live. And, you know, the only thing I can say that I've had here that has been paranormal, I believe it to be Bigfoot. And I say that is because it started after I, you know, realized that, you know, the Foots, they are real. They are all around us. But I caught an orb on camera. I have the video of it. And it was on my back porch, and it was blinking at me. So as it kind of glides through the air, it blinks, not like a lightning bug. It's almost like, I don't know, almost like the light on a computer would be blinking at you. We've had the random smells in the house. We've been sitting on the sofa, and out of the blue, there's the smell of a wood stove, just like what mom and dad, you know, had in their house growing up. And it's almost like it's in your face. You know, we both smell it, and then it's gone in a flash. And that's happened more than once. There was one night, we have kitties in the house, and one of them, she got so upset, she started spinning wheels and running toward the office, and she wet herself. She left a trail all the way from the dining room to the office. So I still believe to this day there was a Bigfoot peeping in on us, you know, a cloaked Bigfoot. But anyway, that's my stories. I'll stop now and let you guys ask questions.
I think it's safe to say that whatever these things are really want you and your family's attention.
You know, I would agree with that. You know, there's, you know, every once in a while they'll have something, you know, in their house that, you know, will come off of a shelf and fall, and we'll blame it on my grandmother. She did pass away back in 2012, and I can tell you there's not a malicious bone. There was not a malicious bone in her body, so she is always welcome. if you know, I think part of her is still with us, you know, and she's always welcome in their home or my home, the Bigfoots too, as long as they're pure of heart.
Right, of course, yeah. I mean, it makes sense because everybody would like to be, like, if you see something weird like that you can't explain, we would all love to be like, oh, well, we know exactly who that is. It kind of puts us at like a, like it eases our mind a little bit, like, okay, let's not freak out. We know who that is.
Exactly. Yeah, we've smelled her perfume on more than one occasion, and more than one of us has smelled it. It was, what was it called? Lady Stetson, I believe, is what she wore. Mm-hmm. I was at work one day, and there it was just in my office, like clear as a bell. And several of us have experienced that. So I fully believe she comes in to check on us. She was probably the closest example of God's unconditional love that I've ever seen. So I'm sure she comes back to check on her family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, John. Oh, I thought he was saying something. I was going to ask, so with these last, with those houses that you guys were going back and forth from, the one you said you and your wife moved about like 45 minutes away from that last house, so you guys had all that stuff happen from, other than the one that was completely like creepy. Had the person that you guys bought that house from, the second one, have they ever said anything about stuff like that?
You're talking about the one that had the little girl in it, that my dad saw? No one lives there now. There was a couple of families that rented it for a short period of time, but it's been empty for, oh gosh, I don't even know how long. There's been talks of them tearing it down, but it has asbestos in the siding, so it just kind of sits there. I don't know that any of them had any experiences in it, but I've not asked either.
So
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you mentioned that you talked to Robin a little bit about your visitors too. Is that right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She knows, because I know she's talked to them before, the foots that are around mom and dad. So last Halloween, mom had a pumpkin, and after, of course, Halloween, she took it to the backyard and she just kind of put it out at the fence, you know, thinking eventually it's going to, you know, it'll break down and something will come by and eat the insides or whatnot. But it mysteriously sprouted legs and walked away. And we kind of laughed because it was like, okay, a pumpkin, it's not going to roll. The ground is flat right there. It would have rotted. You would see at least some remnants of it, especially when the seeds are hitting the ground, they're going to start sprouting. But I'm like, yeah, I can't think of an animal that can tote a pumpkin off. You need hands to do that. So, you know, we're like, yeah, we're thinking the Bigfoots had to have come by to, you know, have a snack on that. So since then, not too long ago, actually, it was actually on Easter, we left them a watermelon and a cantaloupe, and I don't know that they've taken that yet. I don't think they have, but we found a tiny, tiny stick structure, and it looked like it would be, I guess it would be a Bigfoot kid that would have made it, but it looks just like a teepee. I mean, everything is all woven together at the top, just done so neatly, almost artistically. And, you know, we took pictures, of course, and there's nobody out there living close by that's going to go into it was under a scuppernong vine, which, you know, it's kind of like a grape, but it's a lot of briars, it's a lot of underbrush in there. So, I mean, there's nobody going to be playing in there unless it's somebody that lives out in the wild. But when we found it, we were on the golf cart, and when we went to pull away, the golf cart just died. Like it wouldn't go forward, wouldn't go backwards. It's like it just quit working. It had a brand new battery, and so we ended up pushing it for, oh gosh, several hundred feet before it started up again. So I was like, yeah, somebody is over in the tree line probably laughing at us.
That
the Bigfoots with their wicked
sense of
humor. Wait,
was it nighttime when that happened?
No, this was broad daylight. Broad daylight.
Okay, I was going to say, if it was now, if that was at night, then I would have been probably freaking out completely and have something die in the middle of, yeah, that would be, okay, and then before, the first story, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add, mom and dad, their cat disappeared, and, his name is Pumpkin, and he had been gone for a few days, and they were outside looking for him, and mom and dad both got that odor smell that people describe a lot of times when they feel that a Bigfoot is close by. It's that really nasty smell, and it was like it was there, and then it was like it was just suddenly gone. But my family has become really good friends with Pat and Robin both, and we ended up it was my uncle, I think, reached out, you know, just asked, you know, can you pick up anything on the cat, because that's their baby. They were so worried about him, and she did end up, she asked the Foots up there if they could, you know, be of any help, and she told my family, she said, he's not dead. He's trying to find his way home, and he's got some help. And it was probably within 10 minutes, Pumpkin came shooting through the cat door like a bat out of heck. So,
holy crap.
Ever since then, we've always been grateful to them for helping get him back home. And he doesn't really leave much anymore. He will go out in the yard, but he doesn't go traipsing off prowling anymore, so I don't know, maybe they put the fear of God in him.
Yeah. He saw something maybe he wasn't supposed to.
I know. But it's so exciting to know that that there's Foots out there, and that they, you know, are near your family. And I said, you know, they could have been there probably this entire time, and we would have never known. And like, it's not even been a year yet that, you know, we started. Well, I got so drawn into the world of the cryptids, and you know, meeting Robin and Pat, it was just like moth to a flame, and just wanted to learn more and more. And ever since then, it's like something happens, and a lot of times it's almost like you could say that there's absolutely nothing out of the ordinary about it. But at the same time, it's like I will go out in the woods at times, looking for stick structures. And it's like after that, you know, something random, like I live in the city limits now, my wife and I do. And we have, you know, birds and, you know, squirrels that come to eat, but, you know, then there's suddenly this big hawk that, you know, flies into the yard and sits on the fence looking at me. And I'm like, we've been here 10 years and I've never seen a hawk. And then here comes an owl, you know, a beautiful barred owl, you know, in the middle of town, you know, sitting there looking at me. And I'm like, yeah, there's got to be a connection here. So I'm loving every minute of it. I know at some point they're going to let us see them, but we're probably not ready. You know, I'd like to think that seeing them in physical form, you know, that I'm ready. I'm not going to have a heart attack or anything like that, but they know us better than we know ourselves. So
right.
I just leave it at that. I'm grateful to know that this side of the world exists.
You know, it's kind of strange to me, like listening to the story that you first told us, like when you were about 4 or 6 years old and the haunted place that you guys lived in, it almost sounds like they are now protecting you guys from whatever happened back then. Cause that's,
you may be right, because I mean, I'm just based on what I've learned. I mean, that kind of stuff can follow. I mean, if it attaches itself to you, and Yeah, that is scary. That is super scary.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to hear what Robin has to say about all this and kind of see if we can figure anything out about that previous house.
Yeah, and I just there's times where I wonder, is there going to come a time one day where, you know, something is going to get triggered and I'm going to remember something from back then? Because like I said, that house in particular, what was different is, you know, I only have a flash here and there of us living there. I just wonder if there's, you know, things that are kind of under the covers, so to speak, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
There's got to be.
I'm glad mom and dad were like, yep, we're getting out of here. Time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, excuse me. And when you mentioned Robin is out at the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference right now in Hastings, Nebraska. And she just landed this morning and we were glad to talk to her. I gave her a call to see how she was doing. And so we will have Robin give us kind of her verdict on this. You know, Chris, maybe we can talk about this another time with her. And I think that would be an interesting thing, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I try to pace myself with my questions for her and Pat both, because I'm like, we're gonna, like, throw a shoe at me if I don't stop. But I would love to, you know, chat with them about especially the house in Thompson.
Well, houses do have personality.
I know.
They really do. So, look, we really appreciate you bringing them to us tonight on Growing Haunted. And we'll be talking to you about every other week as you help us co-host this wonderful show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we appreciate you being here. And you said, as
absolutely.
You know, we're at 9:57 now. And we've got Clyde Lewis and his show coming up at 10 o'clock. So wanted to thank you very much for being with us here on Growing Up Haunted. Kyler, thank you. And we'll be back next week, Growing Up Haunted. And next week we'll be back on ScaryCast. So it's a lot of fun here at the number one paranormal network. So, guys, thanks a lot for being with us. And we'll see you next time, okay?
All right. You guys
take care.
And thanks, Mom and Dad, for giving me all the reminders tonight. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.